Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, the Transformers Studio Series 86 line is officially revealed, and we talk about some exciting Walmart, Target, and Amazon Transformers exclusives headed our way. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, and this is episode 404 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that understands Transformers are just toys, but with the way 2020 is gone, don't we all just need a little playtime right now? I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Creator, producer, and star of Empire of Rust, Editor Mike.
I could definitely use some playtime.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I'm always here to play with you, Charles. I'll be your Huckleberry. Let's talk Transformers. I forgot.
Second week in a row, you forgot.
Yeah.
I was 2 seconds away from saying line.
Once you get past episode 400, you know, he just doesn't give the effort anymore.
No, it's just ongoing. Let's just roll it.
He was thrown off by having Epic say it last week.
That's true.
All right, we're back. I'm back. Well, these guys were always here, but yeah, I'm back from a unavoidable emergency last week, but everything's okay, so we'll move on.
I wasn't back. I'm not always here.
You're always here in spirit, Mike, because you edit the tracks.
Gotcha.
Except for this week and the next 8 weeks.
Hey, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, right?
Yep. All right. As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. If you would like to become a Donatron, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. One of the perks of being a Donatron is you are automatically entered into our monthly Toy Hacks giveaway at the end of every month. Toy Hacks lets us give away a $10 gift code for one lucky listener to spend at their store. And you Donatrons get automatically entered into that drawing every week. If you are not a Donatron, you can still enter. Just send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com and send us a picture of the Transformer toy you would like to get stickers or labels from toyhacks.com. And, you know, we're curious to see what you'd like to get done. This month is special because our Toy Hacks gift code drawing is for double the amount. So we're actually giving away a $20 gift code, and that will be in our next episode. So you need to get your entries in by next Sunday, October 25th, because that's when we record our show, and the show will go up on October 28th. So that's when we will announce the winner for the October Toy Hacks gift code. And again, this is double. The prize is not $10, it's actually $20, and this is thanks to a previous winner who decided to donate their prize to go back into the pool. So one of our previous winners is donating their $10, and plus the $10 that Toy Hacks is already giving away, that adds up to $20. So this might be the month that you want to get your entries in. And as always, if you just become a Donatron, you're automatically entered. So, you know, that's a way to go too. But, you know, send them those emails if you so desire.
All that home school teaching you've been doing is really starting to show.
Yes, I learned to add one and one.
You're doing very well.
And Mike is here, we're always happy to have Mike here because we love promoting Empire of Rust, the live play Transformers RPG podcast, the first and only live play Transformers RPG podcast. And this week we've got the uncut version of Empire of Rust episode 34, Home is Where the Herd Is. That is exclusive to our Donatrons, another perk of being a Donatron that goes up And it's already out this Monday, October 19th. So you should already be able to access that if you are a Donatrion. Also, for our regular Empire of Rust listeners, we've got the special side story, the conclusion to our special side story, A Hell by Any Other Name. So that is out on the free Empire of Rust feed. You should already have it. And that is part three and the conclusion of A Hell by Any Other Name. If you have not checked it out, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/rust. And this was the story where myself and Jeremy got to play characters along with Adam, one of the regulars of Empire of Rust. He played a different character, though, so he wasn't Sweet Spot. He was Professor Sprocket. And, of course, we had Kiloton, the crazy Decepticon, joining us as well. So that was it was a fun little adventure, and the conclusion is this week. So, and I think very soon we'll find out how the events of A Hell by Any Other Name play into the regular main Empire of Rust story. So I think that should become clear very soon in the next few episodes. So
you'll see it when it comes up.
Yeah. And anything else you'd like to add, Mike?
No, you pretty much got it in one on that one. But yeah, the little side story that you guys did was super fun, and I'm glad that everyone has the chance to see it now. So if you haven't already heard it through the Donatrion feed, then definitely check it out. It is a very enjoyable horror themed live play episode, so it's always cool. And I think we're probably going to be doing another one with all you guys at some point in the near future. So stay tuned for upcoming announcements on that.
I'm looking forward to it. Yep. Jinx.
I guess I won't talk the rest of the show.
No, you just owe me a Coke, Jeremy. You still have to talk.
Oh, okay.
Next TFCon, we're able to be physically present. You owe me a Coke.
Okay, I can do that.
All right, so let's get into some toy news.
All right, well, we had a treat this past Friday from Hasbro. They did their Hasbro Fan First Friday event that they've been doing on and off this summer and whatnot, and they gave us a plethora of things to talk about this week. So we're going to start it off with the confirmation. I mean, I don't know whether they listened to the show or not, but they officially confirmed what I have been really asking about. Because they talked about and showed off official confirmation and images and toy products for the Studio Series 86 line, and that's pretty cool. So, starting off, I want to mention that it is an offshoot of the Studio Series line, which I thought was really kind of interesting. So, everyone out there who is I don't know what you call them, but the
numbered completionist.
Yeah, the number collectors for the Studio Series line that are getting everything that is numbered, you guys can skip this. It's, it's something that you don't have to get because it's not really in the numbered line. So it's getting its own real subset. So the boxes all kind of look...
They are taking number 86 in the line. So there's not going to be a regular Studio Series 86. They're all the packages are 86.
Right. Right, so...
And they all have... They're 86, with a little number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's right, so with a sub number.
Yeah.
So, I can't imagine that they'd go past 100 with the Studio Series line, but who knows? I mean, they're sitting at, 60-something right now? 78, maybe? But yeah, so they're creeping up to the 80s, but they're not there yet. But yeah, so this subline is going to be the 86 movie line, and it's pretty cool. So to start off, they showed off essentially a bunch of figures that are going to consist of what Wave 1 is going to have in it. Not a complete of Wave 1, but you know, a bunch of figures in Wave 1. So we've got Deluxe Jazz, Deluxe Cup, Deluxe Blur, Voyager Hot Rod, Voyager Scrounge, Scourge. Oh, my goodness.
Jeremy just sat up.
Yeah, it's a
full-sized...
it's just a little tire that you can put in your car and put on as a spare if you need to go from, you know, to the garage.
And then they're going to have to release the like edited version of the movie that has Scrounge in it.
Right. and then they showed off Leader Grimlock with a non-transformable wheelie. And yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, so this was kind of interesting, and then obviously they showed off, the first run of figures for this line, and that was cool. It's pretty neat. We've all kind of seen these things already in leaks and whatnot, and that kind of ruined the fun. But we've known about these for a while, and Jeremy, you took in the stream and listened to it a bit. Did any of this kind of catch you? You know, by surprise, or did you kind of perk up and look over at the TV when you were when they were talking about such and such a figure?
Well, yeah, I mean, none of this was really that much of a surprise. You know, we've known these figures were coming, but just having it actually confirmed that yes, this is going to be Studio Series 86, not like just in the Earthrise line, was great. I love the backgrounds. I haven't gotten any of the Studio Series figures, so I don't know if this was something that the line just does. Mm-hmm. But the way the packaging turns into a way to display the figure, like Jazz is there at Moonbase 2, and I think that is a great way to have these figures. Although I would think that the choice of, is it Hot Rod or Cup? Cup has that little mechanical octopus. You know, I'm like, is that really the best image of Cup in the movie. But it looks like you can just completely take off his arms and legs.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So they've got the play factor is there. Each one of them looks like they all come with a bit of an interesting little accessory that kind of fits in with the way that they were kind of in the movie. So yeah, you mentioned that, Cup's arms and legs come off because he got fucked up, you know, in the middle of the movie, and Hot Rod had to put them back together. So that's really kind of interesting. He also does appear to come with, one of those little Energon goodie containers, which is very mm-hmm. interesting. An accessory I honestly never thought we'd see ever. Hot Rod has a Matrix that has one of the little weapon blast effects. Yeah. That looks like it's opening. So that's actually kind of cool. It adds a lot to the Matrix that is just kind of an accessory that nobody really cares about anymore, that, you know, just kind of comes with everybody. Blur, I don't think I see anything that really comes that he comes with that has anything different. He's got something on his hand that appears to be, I don't know, like a...
It's the welder he used to fix the shuttlecraft on the Planet of Junk, like that,
right.
Like that one little scene.
Right.
Where they were trying to effect repairs while they were on the Planet of Junk.
I do like on Blur how they're making use of one of the gaps in his legs to have mm-hmm. the little tail fin thing fold down into that.
Right.
That's a nice use of the space.
They did that in the Titans Return mold too, didn't they?
I never got that.
Oh. Well, I'm pretty sure they did.
Wheelie gets his little slingshot. That's cool. Grimlock, I mean, he's got his big rifle, but I think the accessory with Grimlock is Wheelie, so that's kind of fun. Jazz, we're going to talk about him in a second, but I mean, it doesn't really look like he has a lot of accessories with him. He's got, I honestly think that I wanted him to have the option for his doors to kind of flip up behind his, you know, on his back, just to have the two options, but it doesn't appear so. And Scourge looks great. But I don't really know if he has an additional accessory, but those pink fingernails, they are just sublime. And I honestly, if those are the only things that he gets, I'm glad that that's what he gets. So I'm pretty stoked about this line. Mike, did you see anything about this thing, these six figures that they showed off that either want, makes you want to grab one or grab them all?
I think out of any of them, the cup is my favorite, which is kind of sad because I really do like the Titans Return cup that I have. Hot Rod looks good. I am a big pass on the blur, though, unfortunately. All I can see is those giant things under his forearms, like this vehicle mode kibble thing. As like whenever I see it, that's all I can see.
Okay.
The other ones there, the Jazz, I don't think I ever need to pick up one on the Jazz, because the Reveal the Shield one is still the definitive Jazz for me. Maybe if I cared enough to collect like all the Masterpiece stuff, I'd do that too. But it's like I got the Reveal the Shield one, and it's like I don't really feel like I need that. And I know we talked a little bit like in other episodes I've been on, kind of my thoughts on like Scourge and stuff. And like I don't want to kind of come down on the line or anything, but a lot of it just is it's like okay for me, but it's not definitive. Like they're nice figures, but not something that I'm going to invest heavily in, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. You could pick and choose from them. That's what I do with Studio Series. Yeah.
Hmm.
Right on. Charles, what are your thoughts on what's been shown here, and will you get any of them?
I'm kind of glad. So I was not near a, like I was not in a position where I could just go pre-order everything at the time that the like it was noon on Friday. So, you know, I was out and couldn't really do that. So I'm kind of glad that I resisted like the impulse to just stop everything and order everything, because I really did want to, like, my first instinct was order everything because it all looked great. I mean, it's, you know, taking a second look. Okay, there are figures that are higher for me and ones that I would pass on. But the first shot, seeing all these 86 figures and all the little accessories and bits and all those little display backgrounds in each packaging, that was all. It was just a thrill for me, like you know, bringing me back to the 86 movie. And yeah, I mean, if I had been sitting in front of my laptop, I might have gone and pre-ordered every single one of these, because I mean I felt like these were really, really cool. Taking a second more discriminating look and you know, calming down a little bit, I do agree that I would probably pass on the Jazz, pass on the Blur, just because they do the blur in particular looks a little wonky. Jazz, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into the whole 14 thing, but that's just weird to me. I don't know why. That's a whole other discussion. But the Cup, the Hot Rod, the Scourge, and the Grimlock, these are all ones that I'd want to add. And I mean, just all the little touches they did, like Cup's arms and legs coming apart, having the little Energon goodie accessory. Hot Rod with all his accessories, although a lot of those came with the Masterpiece figure. But I mean, it's more impressive that they put it in this figure. I mean, they bill it as a Voyager. It's really the size of a Deluxe, just with lots of extra accessories. So they can upcharge you.
I think this one is much more impressive than the Masterpiece, because the backpack is almost non-existent.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, the Hot Rod is really the top one for me. If I don't get any of these, I want to get that Hot Rod. Second would be Cup for me. Second I think would be Scourge. The Scourge is really good too, and just the fact that his wings look really nice, and the hovercraft mode is very much like the movie figure. Then Cup and then Grimlock, and Grimlock of course with the non-transforming wheelie. That's a little unfortunate. I mean, I'm happy they included the wheelie, but yeah, I know it's probably too small to transform, but oh well. But yeah, all these figures are looking really good to me, and the little display case, they come with the ready-made display backdrops. That's great. This still makes me think, why is the Quintesson and the Quintesson Pit of Judgment and the Alicon and Cyclonus, all those figures that are in Earthrise, why are they not in this line? Why are they not Studio Series figures? I mean, we had the discussion, you know, we've had the discussion several times in previous episodes about, you know, where these figures are coming, whether the Studio Series was just a rumor or they were going into Earthrise. Now that we have confirmation that they are, that this is a line separate from Earthrise and going into the Studio Series line, why do we have movie figures in Earthrise that would be perfect for the studio series, for the studio series line? It just, it seems weird. Like, why split up Cyclonus and Scourge like this? And why not include the Quintesson and the Alicons and everything in this line? It seems weird to me. But I mean, you know, we don't have a Hasbro designer here to answer that question, but it seems, just seems odd.
Mm-hmm. Maybe yeah, they know, already right. started with the actual package design and everything on the Cyclonus and had already determined that he was going into Kingdom, and like the actual design and marketing process was already far along when they decided to make these figures or decided to put these figures in Studio Series.
Hmm. Maybe.
Well, you touched on it there, and I do want to mention it, at least in so that we do acknowledge that it did happen. They changed the number on Jazz. So Jazz historically has been he's a Porsche 935, and he has a racing setup on him, and he has the number 4 historically decaled on the doors and sometimes on the hood of the car. And this Studio Series Jazz has been displayed with the number 14 on it. And there's a lot of discussion online as to what the fuck are they talking about? Why did they change the number? according to the Hasbro people during the stream, is they acknowledged it, that it was changed, and they said it essentially it's a change to homage the original Diaclone figure that Jazz is based on. And that's a whole lot of malarkey. Because the original Jazz figure, the Diaclone figure, was a number 4 Porsche 935 race car. So there's a lot of people saying that this is another one of those decals that was created in reference to another kind of racist kind of thing. And I'm not going to get into the weeds on this thing here, but essentially it went south real quick. And so... if you feel like you want to dig into it, you can, but it's not hard to find it online, but it is definitely a cesspool of kind of nastiness. So something about 14 words, that's why it's, you know, they've changed it to 14, or the number 14 is significant, but it's a bit of... it's a lot right now. So that's all I'm going to say about it. I really don't want to mention it too much longer, but, essentially if I end up getting this Jazz figure, the one is coming off because I have nothing else that references 14 for on a Jazz here. And I assume, that Toy Hacks will be doing sticker packs for every single one of these things. And that, the Studio Series Jazz will be one of the first ones that get it done. So, yeah, either I remove the one or I cover it up. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the next bunch of stuff that they showed off. Hey, do you guys remember so long ago, back when, Titans Return was coming out, and they did the Headmasters. You remember how long ago? That was a long time ago. You remember that?
Oh, so long.
What was that, like 3-4 years ago?
Oh, maybe. But
that was when Deep Throating was still feeding us secret information.
Deep Throating. I remember that. Those were good times.
That's a deep whatever, callback.
Whatever happened to them? So Walmart is getting an exclusive series of figures from Hasbro, and it is the return of Titans Return Headmasters. They are going to be released in classic G1 deco packaging, and they are going to have new heads. So these are the Takara heads that they got in Japan, but the paint jobs on them are going to be much more focused on the coloring that they got in G1. So it's some the of bodies are also similar. Different. Pardon me?
I saw the bodies were also a little different.
Are they? I didn't see that this. The bodies were different. I know that the heads are for sure though.
Yeah, Protoman posted a comparison thing on Twitter here. So it just, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's how the paint is, but it just, it looks a little bit slimmer in my opinion.
Mm. Well, the paint definitely is different, but it does, like I said, it does kind of focus more on the original G1 paint jobs, and the packaging that they're getting is straight out of the 80s. So if you remember, if you're old like we are, you'll remember that the original Headmaster figures came with their boxes had two windows, and the window, the larger window, had the vehicle transformed into vehicle mode, and then there was a small little window that gave you the little Headmaster in robot mode off to the side, and that's what they're doing with these guys. So I think that is really cool. I have no interest in getting these things again, but those pack, the boxes may sell me on these. They're so cool looking. So I kind of want to get these just for the boxes again. What, Charles, I know that in the evening you tend to take your head off and put it off aside. It turns into a little guy and then runs around. What are your thoughts on getting, you know, toys of that?
I already have
Charles,
them.
Tell us.
Hold on, I got to put my head back on. The little guy's running around.
Put on.
That's the thing. I already have these guys, and I mean the packaging is cool, but it's not enough for me to double dip on these figures. I actually already sold the Mind Wipe I had, so I definitely don't want it back. But my question is, why not just release the G1 Headmasters? If you're doing a retro, you know, throwback, you've done G1 re-releases at Walmart already. That's the Walmart exclusive line is G1 re-releases. You couldn't find the original Headmaster molds, or would they be? Are they too big? Are the figures too big now? Too much plastic that you'd have to charge too much for them? Or, I mean,
it's possible. It's possible that the molds are destroyed as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think this is just a weird compromise. Like these not quite old figures in retro packaging to satisfy retro fans or just Headmaster fans. I mean, just commit to the G1 re-releases or re-release the Titans Return. I mean, it just feels like a weird compromise for me. And if the packaging is enough, that's great for you to get it, but it's not enough for me.
All right. Jeremy, I know that you are a fan of things that come in small packages. What are your thoughts of these?
Yeah, thanks. I love the packaging. I think that's great. I did not, like, I'm not a completionist in any line, so I only have a handful of the Titans Returns ones, so I might pick up a Chrome Dome just so I can get one with the packaging.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's just the full, like, it's got the art on the back and everything, and it looks great. Yeah. And from what I can tell, it is essentially the Takara deco on all of these, but with just slight coloring differences.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm excited to at least get one of these.
Right on. And Mike, I figure I'll end with you on this. I understand you like a little head.
I like getting some.
Too much information.
I was wondering what leading question you're going to go with on that. And the disappointment is real. So I'm a little confused. Like, first off, let me kind of start with it by saying I do have all of the Titans Return ones because I was really excited when they came out. So I got them all. And I'm a little confused as to why they're going with a US G1 kind of color scheme, but they're doing the Takara heads. That isn't, I don't know, that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. If you're going to go for a specific color scheme like that, then wouldn't it make sense to be more uniform? I don't know, but either way. The thing that I really love about this is not just the packaging, because that packaging is really, really good looking. I love the fact that they're putting it in vehicle mode. again in the package. And I wish they would do that all the time, because whenever you got one, it was always like a little bit of like a puzzle, a little bit of a surprise to kind of figure out, oh, hey, what does the robot mode look like? I don't know, because all I see is a car. So I really want them to do that again, and I really want them to do it with a lot more figures. Stop packaging them in robot mode, put them in alt mode, and let us figure it out. Let us go ahead and transform them.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to move on, and we're getting another one of those Galactic Odyssey packs. So this is another Amazon exclusive. So this is Amazon exclusive Galactic Odyssey encounter number 2. And this is the Planet Micron Micromaster 6 pack. And these are all repaints of already released Micromasters. So nothing to get too excited over here. This is already pre-orderable on Amazon. $29.99 for the whole set. It's a lot for 6 Micromasters.
Well, each 2-pack is $10, so 6 is $30.
There's that teacher, that homeschool teacher coming out again.
There's that doctor coming out again.
Yep. So these things look, they're cool. They've got the new release Micromasters, right? So we've got, a bunch of those new molds. I guess these guys have knees, like the originals didn't have knees, but other than that, there's really no difference from the originals. If you like the Micromasters, this might be something that you're interested in. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of the Micromasters. Is anybody a real fan of the new age Micromasters here?
I mean, I like them.
Not really.
Yeah. But
all right, Mike, tell me why. Why do you like them?
I think it's a case where, like, I hate them the least among everyone.
I don't mind them. I like toys with simple transformations, mm-hmm. but I mean, they are essentially sure. The G1 Micromasters just done new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And charge twice as much for half as many. That's the other sticking point.
Yeah. But did you mention the Windstorm and Stingracer kind of thing that they did here?
I did not. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's right here on the dock.
Go ahead.
Both of these are inspired by mask toys. Windstorm transforms into like a 50s car, and the Deca looks like Hurricane from Mask. And Stingracer's one is inspired by Stinger, which is like a T-top. So kind of interesting if they're bringing the mask name back there.
Cool. That's fun.
I like them as far as, like, they're very useful as minis in the game, so they're kind of nice that way. Who is it? Mike on the podcast went ahead and picked up the the Target like 20 pack or something, like the repaint pack they did.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. So,
and that was nice.
So when you guys were actually playing physically together, you could use them as little miniatures.
Right, yeah, yep. Back in the before times.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I picked up some of the Micromasters, some of the Micromaster packs over the last year or two. And, you know, I'll pick and choose. But, I mean, definitely the repaints of the Micromasters, it's an easy pass. It's like, why? I mean, you put out a bunch. All the Micromasters are pretty simple transformations, pretty much almost the same mold. And then just giving repaints on top of repaints, it's not appealing to me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
If they were cheaper, they'd actually be more appealing to me. Like if they were like $2 a piece or something, I actually might pick up more of these.
Yeah.
And I hate doing this, but if they blind bagged them or something, that'd be kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
If they did more, you know, not just the only ones they have out there right now.
All right, let's move on to a couple more things that might interest us more than some Micromasters. These are some Target exclusive figures, and they are in the Earthrise line. So these we've talked about before, but we get some really nice pictures of them here. These are Earthrise Thrust and Runabout, and they look awesome. I am really excited for both of these figures. I don't know how I'm getting them, but the fact that they're Target exclusives kind of pisses me off. Hopefully somebody picks them up here and brings them over to Canada, Toys R Us or EB Games. I could care less who, as long as they come here. They look great though. The colors on Runabout, the black with the red accents, just, it's gorgeous. It really is. And Thrust, gotta finish off those cone heads. So where's the Thrust? Give me the Thrust. Charles, you are very picky as to the figures that you buy. Are either one of these on your list?
They are. I mean, I think I talked about how of the Coneheads, Thrust is the one I really wanted. So I skipped the two-pack with Dirge and Ramjet, but I really want Thrust. And Runabout, I also would like, I would like to get both Runabout and Runamuck. So yeah, both of these guys would be on my list. So yeah, and I do have a Target near me, so I'm hoping they show up there. Although, yeah, I didn't check online to see if I could pre-order them. They're probably sold out at this point. But
it's Target. The bots, yeah, get to it before anyone.
So yeah, so my hope is, because I do see these exclusives in my store from time to time. Like I saw the Thundercracker Skywarp 2-pack. I saw the Decepticon clones, which I picked up. I saw the Micromaster 20-pack. I saw all the Target I think the Rainmakers, they came to my store too. So
cool.
Hopefully they'll show up. And if two show up, Daryl, I'll pick one up for you if it hasn't made it over the border yet.
Well, I didn't know that the Skywarp and the Sideswipe were Target exclusives over there, because they've started showing up at EB Games here now. So EB Games just seems to be getting everything here in Canada, so that's really great.
The Earthrise Skywarp and Thundercracker 2-pack where they're,
oh, that thing
for the okay, jet
yeah,
mode.
No, that's yeah. not that's not what I was talking about.
I just wanted to mention, because on the stream, we didn't mention the people on the stream. The stream had Rachel, who's been leading a bunch of these. She's the marketing person. Then they had a couple of new people. They had Evan, who was the designer on the Studio Series line. And then they had Amanda, who is a writer for the Transformers brand. So she does a lot of the writing for the packaging and copy and stuff. And she was very into talking about all these stories. Like, she'd mentioned the story about how, you know, the arc is the in between Siege and Earthrise, how the arc is traveling through space and they come to planet Micron and there's plasma energy there and these Micromasters are going to pick that up. And then she mentioned for Runabout, when they were talking about Runabout, she said Runabout and Runamuck went on a mission to infiltrate the arc. And Runamuck stowed away on the arc but got separated by Runabout, and Runabout was left behind. And then now that he's this Target exclusive, if you pick him up, you can reunite Runamuck and Runabout on your toy shelf. So I just thought that was interesting that they had all this little background story that they were putting out. I mean, we haven't heard anything about Runabout or Runamuck being actually in Siege or Earthrise, like being featured at all.
Yeah,
but they have this backstory, and you know, they are focused on Runabout and Runamuck as being a team of, a duo that works together and everything. So I just thought that was interesting.
Very cool. The only thing that I was going to say is I quickly looked while you were yammering on there about whatever the hell that was. I looked on ebgames.ca here, and Studio Series, all the Studio Series figures we just talked about, they're all up for pre-order on Studio Series or on ebgames.ca. So, and they're all still available. So for Canadian listeners out there, if you're interested, go and pre-order them. Very cool. What about you, Mike? What do you think about Runabout and Thrust?
I definitely want the Runabout. I also want Runamuck, which I haven't seen at all yet. So we'll start with that, I guess. But I definitely want those two. I really wish they weren't exclusives. That's kind of being annoying. And this is from someone in the U.S. too, where it's still possible to get a Target exclusive actually in person. Mm-hmm. Not likely, but it's possible. But I mean, for people outside the U.S., I mean, not just Canada, but you know, like Europe or Asia or anything, It must be really hell to find these things.
Yeah.
I don't got to tell you, though. I'm preaching to the choir there, aren't I?
And actually, it's not that bad for me. So, I mean, in spots where I feel bad, I have to think people in the UK or Australia or places even more remote than those when it comes to distribution, they really do have it hard. So,
yeah. I mean, I get the reason that Hasbro wants to do exclusives. You know, I get the kind of partnership they have with certain distribution channels, and you know, I get that it's good for them. It's like, okay, cool, that's fine. But I don't know, maybe not make it the character or the toy that everyone is going to want to get, or a lot of people are going to want. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to buy Run Amok, then you likely want Runabout. I mean, the Collectors Club did the same thing. They offered they offered Run Amok as the free figure, and then you had to pay like $80 for the other one with a box.
Yep.
It's like really. Back in when Classics was a thing, the Ultra Magnus repaint of Prime. It's like, you know, maybe do something a little bit more obscure than that, and something that not a ton of collectors are going to want to get. But yeah, I'm definitely going to want the Runabout, and hopefully I can find a way of getting it. The Thrust I'm going to pass on simply because I've passed on all the other Coneheads for Siege and for Earthrise, so not really. I'm not going to worry about it. I have my Classic Seekers, and you know what? I'm okay with them. I'm good with them.
Cool. Jeremy, are you going to Thrust up your Runabout?
I don't know what to say to that.
Just a yes and move on.
I will say I am interested in the toys, and I think Thrust looks great. I love the color scheme. Looks like they did a really good job there. I don't have any of the new Seekers, so I want to get one of them. You know, most likely Thundercracker, but I don't know. Whichever one I see, probably. And then the Runabout, and it looks great. I haven't seen Run Amok either, but they look great. So if I see them, they would probably be an impulse buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you see if you want a Thundercracker, you're getting a Skywarp because they're in the same pack.
I know. That's my issue right now.
It's a great pack. You're getting the same figure twice, but whatever. They're both great figures. So let's move on to one of the last two things that we're going to talk about here from the stream. And this one we had, we talked about before. We knew it was coming, but we finally get to see pictures of it here in hand, and that's the Studio Series number 69. It's a terrible number for this figure, but whatever.
Nice.
Very nice. It's the eight figures in one pack, the gift set, Devastator Revenge of the Fallen gift set. So it's this is a big set, man. It's huge.
Apparently
the MSRP on this is apparently the exact same price that it would be if you were to buy all the other figures at retail price, so you're not saving anything. Actually, you probably would save more by buying them all individually because you'd save that extra penny for every one. So,
Daryl, how good does it feel that you've already completed this and you don't have to worry about this at all?
Well, it does feel good, but I haven't done anything with it since I showed it on trips to the store. I put it on a shelf and forgot about it. So, but it does feel good. So, yeah, if you're looking for it, if you wanted to kind of wait it out and see if you could get it, as a gift set, you can. It's gonna cost you the exact same, but
there are some minor paint app differences on these figures. Like the TFW story has like calls out all the different changes.
Right. Yes, and that's cool. They're not like extensive. Like you said, they're very minor, but that's okay. I mean, essentially, if you're looking at them in combined form, side by side, you're really not going to be able to tell that big of a difference. I'm staring at them both combined side by side, and I can't see anything, really. But if you get down to individual figures, that's where you will see it. Charles, I know the answer to this question, so I'm not even going to ask it. I know you don't like this and you don't want it, so I'm just going to move on. Jeremy, I also know that you don't want this thing and you're not going to get it. But Mike, we haven't talked about this. Do you need to be devastated?
Not for full price, but if I find it on sale, yeah, maybe. I did pass on all the individuals. Because by the time I realized that it was actually a thing, I had already missed the first two or three, and then at that point I was like, I'm not going to worry about this and try to finish this set. Mm-hmm. But if it comes down to, I don't know, maybe 2/3 of that or so, or if I can get it on sale, then you know what, maybe I'm sure I can find some spot on a shelf in here somewhere.
How close are you to a Ross?
Unlikely.
Oh, okay. Well, Charles is close to a Ross.
And I'm this like gifts... 5 minutes from when.
Oh, my. So this thing here, the gift set, is a prime candidate for something that would end up in a Ross. Keep your eyes peeled. If I hear of them starting to end up at Ross's, I will send both Charles and Jeremy direct messages to go to their nearest Ross and buy one, maybe two, and we can maybe give one away. So, yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
That'd be an awesome fucking prize. I don't care who you are. So,
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, that's pretty cool. The last thing that we're going to talk about this week, though, that was part of the stream. But
before you move on, they did mention there's a behind-the-scenes thing with the designer of the Devastator figure on Hasbro Pulse.
Oh, right.
So you can check that out.
Yes, cool. So, yeah, check it out if you're wanting to see how they kind of made it and they designed it all. Yeah, very neat. The last thing that we're going to talk about this week is the My Little Prime figure. They showed it off and mentioned that it's available. And we knew this because we talked about it last week with Epic. And I've got one because it showed up like a year ago. And I sent her one, so she's got one. And now you guys can buy them in, what is it, Sharper Image or some bullshit store like that? I don't know. Where?
Fan Channels. They said you can order it on Channels. Fan Channels.
Yeah, that's like BBTS and TF Store and stuff like that.
There is another store. You can actually get it in a store, though. We talked about it last week. I can't remember. I thought it was Sharper Image, but I don't think that's an actual store.
No, it is.
Oh, okay. It's real. I can't remember.
They used to be in malls.
Listen to the last week's episode, and we talk about what store you can actually get it in. So, there you go. Mike, do you want a My Little Prime?
Not especially. I think they had something like this, not exactly, but something like it at HasCon, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a different deco, but yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well.
Yeah, big pass.
That's it for the stream, and I guess we're going to look forward to what they want to show us next. I mean, they've been doing pretty good on revealing stuff for the Fan First Fridays and whatnot, so maybe they'll do one next week. They don't really tell us when they come out and they're going to do one until it's like the Monday or the Tuesday, so we'll know.
I think this was basically what they would have shown at New York Comic Con that they put here.
That's cool. So yeah, right on. Anyway, that's it for toy news, unless anyone else has anything else to say.
Nope.
Awesome. All right, back to you, Charles.
All right, that's wrapping up our toy talk, so we will move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the cool Transformer stuff we got this week. We do this as a video, so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition on YouTube. But we'll also put the audio right here in the show, so you can listen to us describe everything in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, we'll start off with Jeremy. What do you got this week?
I just have some comics. I partook in the New York Comic Con IDW shop and picked up Andrew Griffith's Back to the Future Transformers cover with a faux Huey Lewis there saying that they're too loud. I think it looks great. And once again, IDW is on point with the bags and boards. They really high quality feeling. And they also sent in two free Comic Book Day books. Oh, and I got a second one of those for Daryl. They sent me Usagi Yojimbo and My Little Pony free Comic Book Day books. No stamp, no sticker. So, anyway, I wasn't expecting those. I was kind of cool. I guess they're getting rid of their stock by just including them in order. Some, but that's all I got this week.
All right. I will go next. And similar to Jeremy, I did also pick up the Back to the Future Andrew Griffith cover from IDW. And I also got the free Comic Book Day comics, My Little Pony and Usagi Yojimbo. So,
wow. Yeah. Did you also get one for Daryl? Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, these are mine. These are mine. I don't know. We could use one for a prize. I don't know. Maybe. But yeah.
There are many like it, but that one is yours.
But that was not all. I have a big backlog of comics that I picked up since I wasn't on last week. So here's Transformers 23 that we're reviewing this week in alt mode. Here is Transformers Galaxies number 10 with Ultra Magnus. Here is Transformers versus the Terminator issue 4. Here is Transformers My Little Pony issue 3. And two covers of Transformers Back to the Future number 1, both the main one and the Philip Murphy cover with Marty and Doc as slaves being watched over by Decepticons.
So being a number 1, your shot probably were more.
Yeah. The one time they get variants, so probably because they expected this one to sell a little bit better than the regular Transformer stuff. So,
was that a full Shelton?
No.
There was nine covers.
Yeah. I was not going for the full Shelton for the Back to the Future one. All right. Yeah, that's all I got this week. So pass it over to Daryl.
Well, our listeners will be happy to know that I do not have any comics. But I do have a toy, and I bought this today because I thought, you know what, I need to check out this line. I haven't bought anything from it yet, and it showed up in my area, so I figured, what the hell, I'll take a look. This is Optimus Prime from the Red Line.
Oh.
This guy is $30, and he's a straight-up action figure, so no transforming. Decent articulation. And essentially the same articulation that you're going to get from any action figure, including a transforming figure. So lots of great articulation there. The knees are actually pretty good. But yeah, so straight up, mostly the same articulation. You get a whole bunch of extra accessories. So there's three pairs of hands, including the two on his body. There's the Energon axe and then the weapons. So you get the gun, and then inside his chest you actually do get a matrix. So, and that is actually, it comes separate. It comes in the box on the little side panel there. You get to take it out and put it in. He's good. He feels solid, like real solid. For comparison, I did pull out, this is Earthrise Optimus. So there's a good height difference, but this is heavier than Earthrise Optimus. I gotta say, the amount of articulation is the same. Like Earthrise Optimus can do the same stuff, so I know what they're doing with this line, but I'm not entirely sure if I'm really willing to pay $30 for a deluxe size figure that can do exactly the same poses that a transforming version can do. Sure, the look is dead on to the cartoon, right? But is that worth an extra $10? I don't know. So I wanted to get it because I thought it's definitely it's an Optimus Prime. It can kind of fit in anywhere. I've also heard that the Megatron is got some wonky fusion cannon arm stuff going on. So DJ Ronan, a friend of the show, has also he's been buying these. He got the Megatron and had to fix the arm, and that seems to be a known issue. So I avoided that. The store did have a Megatron that I could have bought, but $60 right off the shot is really hard to kind of, you know,
why fix acceptance factor is not high.
Yeah, sure. But it is. It's a straight-up action figure. It does nothing. So
does it feel like a $30 toy?
Well, I mean, compared to what? Like a $30 toy is...
Like a Star Wars Black Series or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Essentially, that's what these are. They're Marvel Legends, Star Wars Black, that kind of thing, right? I mean, it does have a little bit more articulation, I guess you could say, because the chest opens up. I mean, I don't know a lot of Marvel Legends or Star Wars Black figures that have, you know, stuff like that, but I guess you could say that it has that. Plus, I mean, you do get all this extra crap on the side, too. Like, you can... It's essentially SH Figure Arts figure with all the extra goodies you get. But it's heavy. Like, I mean, there's no die cast. It's all solid plastic, right? There's no gaps. There's no gaps whatsoever. And that's for somebody who's likes visual aesthetics. That's a big win, right? So, I mean, you look on every aspect of this thing and there are no gaps. So that's a huge win when it comes to action figures, transforming action figures to be exact. So, yeah.
It's a little disappointing because I was really kind of looking to pick up some of the red stuff. The RC and the Cheetor that they showed at one of the last Pulse events looked really appealing. So I thought, hey, maybe the Prime and Megatron are kind of similar. But if the range of articulation is not as good as something like a Black figure or one of the Marvel Legends stuff, then it's, I don't know, that just doesn't seem worth it to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I highly recommend, if you're a toy collector, I recommend at least buying one of these figures. Like, if you want to get one of the RC or sorry, was it Chromia? Was it? No, it was RC. It was Prime RC and the Cheetor. If you want to get one of those, if that's what you were, you know, kind of looking forward to, get it. If you're a huge Soundwave fan, get the Soundwave. I mean, it's a cool figure. It's $30. It's the same as any other Voyager or whatnot that you would be getting. But yeah, I mean, your personal opinion is going to be what determines these things. It's a $30 action figure for me. So it's probably $20 bucks for you, or you know, whatever the conversion is for you guys. But yeah, it's solid. If that's what you're looking for, then it does it.
If you're someone like me or Charles that don't seem to have the time or space to unbox figures, it might be a good option because you don't have to worry about figuring out the transforming and stuff.
Yeah.
takes up less space.
But then you got to do something with those accessories it comes with.
Ziploc bags. They're small.
That's it. That's all I got this week.
All right. We will finish up the show with Mike.
Cool. So I had, as of this recording, yesterday was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And my...
happy birthday.
Yeah.
Woo. Happy birthday.
Oh, it's Russian Yoshi. I got to run now. So my wife picked up a number of like the little bots packs for me, and I think I got like 30 figures or something like that. So I'm not gonna show up every single one, and hopefully the camera actually focuses on this. But got a couple of the more interesting ones. The pumpkin one, it's awesome. The axe, Quackers, the duck, love this guy.
Best name.
Yep, turns into a little rubber ducky. I forget who it was, but someone was talking like that. This is the official or the semi not official rubber ducky for Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah.
So.
And when you get awesome. The Earthrise Megatron, Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah, exactly. One that turns into a teddy bear, kick ass. And a coffee cup one, and I managed to get. One of like the rare, quote unquote rare gold ones, not real gold, obviously, but still. So, I plan on using them as like little accessories and like little set pieces for like photos and stuff like that. So, they turn out pretty good. About a week or two back, a friend of mine found little blind bagged mini like G1 figures, and you know, like all the usual suspects, so Prime, Megatron, Soundwave, Bumblebee, Starscream, Grimlock. Thing is, these are actually better sized for gaming than the WizKids minis
Oh, wow.
that came out. So I'm hoping to just find like a couple of little bases, and then I can just glue those to it, and boom, perfectly sized minis for games. The Grimlock is the actual like the biggest one, so that will fit the bigger base perfectly.
Where do you find them?
I think that's a good question. I think it was at either a Target or a Walmart or something like that. It was, or it could have been like a CVS, like a drugstore or something like that. They were like tiny, like little blind bag minis. So like, it was like $2 a piece or something. But he was able to pick up like the whole set for like less than $15. So it was a pretty good deal. I don't think they did any more. I think it was just like the main set for it. So yeah, that was cool. I liked it. Like I said, once I pick up some bases for it, I'll glue them to the base, and I got some perfect minis. Non-transforming, of course. They're just solid sculpts, and like for the most part, they're okay, but like Bumblebee's feet are just massive. They're like the size of like three of his heads, so that's kind of crazy. Camera actually focus on you. Focus Ooh. On you. There we go. Perfect, yeah. So yeah, those feet are pretty massive there.
Dreamwave Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm. Know what they yeah, say about much. A bot with big feet.
Yeah. And you're not going to focus.
Put your hand behind it.
All right.
That usually helps. Yeah.
Yeah. So not too bad. Some of the molds are a little bit on the rougher side, but they're doable for, they're workable for what they are. So yeah. So cool. Yep. Going to attach those and that'll be good. Last thing I got was thanks to Dinobot Maximize in our chat. He hooked me up with a Masterpiece Prowl.
Nice.
With the Toy Hack stickers already on it. So, really cool. Really love it.
Nice.
The second MP car I have, like the first one was Wheeljack, and I really love that. So, really good for like photos and stuff like that, because some of the deluxe stuff from previous lines just doesn't really pose well for photographs. But the Masterpiece stuff, oh yeah, definitely works great for it. So, yeah, I think it's going to work out pretty well, and I can't wait to get them into the studio.
Cool. Nice. So we have to start calling you Photographer Mike.
Not until I get a bit more of a portfolio of work, but I'll get there.
All right, that'll do it for this week's Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will move on to convention news.
All right, only one thing in convention news, and this is probably the most important convention announcement we've ever had in the last few weeks since COVID started. TFCon Online is this weekend, October 24th and 25th, and at noon Eastern on October 24th, this ragtag group called Transmissions are interviewing Mr. Simon Furman, who has written in almost any form of Transformers that you've read, even some you've watched, he's had a hand in. So this was a fun interview, and happy to finally make Charles's dreams come true.
Yeah, cross it off my bucket list.
Yeah, so it was fun. Talking primarily about Transformers 84, but there's some work, or there's some talk about the early days at Marvel and then his new project to the death. So yeah. And then after TFCon, we might have an announcement about some extra content for our regular listeners. So check that out. We'll have the YouTube link in the show notes. So even before, like, you can set a reminder on YouTube and have it prompt you. So that's all the convention news we got this week.
All right, and we will finish up the show with feedback. All right, so we've got a comment from Dual Mirrored Gridwork. This is actually, I think this is commenting on episode 401, so a couple of weeks ago, because he mentions me, and I wasn't on the last episode. So yeah, he has a correction for me, because he says, Big C, I believe Sideswipe's Japanese name is Lambor, not Lambeau, and... Yes, I realized that after we had had that discussion. Actually, I think if you listen to the outtakes of episode 401, you'll hear at the very end of the outtakes me catch my mistake about Lambo versus Lambor. So, dual married grid work, listen to the end. Listen to the end of the whole episode, all the way to the outtakes.
Do you know how much work goes into putting those outtakes together?
I do.
It's actually harder than the main show sometimes. Minute by minute, it's a lot more work.
I think that's Mike's argument for the outtakes being canon. Yeah, so but doing good work, you did catch that error. And he says the reason I remember is that I got the nickname Lambo from a former coworker because it is fairly close to my name. So good on you, dual mirrored grid work. But you should have listened to the outtakes and you would have realized I already caught my own mistake. So
and there's no way I would have let a mistake by Charles not be in the show.
Next item from dual mirrored grid work, he says, do you guys think the fact that the Predacons were matched up against the Dinobots in their toy introduction commercial back in the day is the reason that now some fans want them to combine? It does seem to me that they matched up a lot with the Predacons, and now that they do have the ability to combine recently. So what do you think? I actually think it's more about the Dinobots being able to take on Devastator. I mean, the Dinobots were originally matched up with Devastator in the Constructicons way back in G1 days. I mean, maybe in the toy commercial you did see the Predacons and Dinobots fighting, but in the cartoon it was always Dinobots versus the Constructicons. So I think there's a lot of desire to have the Dinobots combine so that they can match with Devastator.
I think it was just because people thought it would be a cool idea. I mean, you know, you already got dinosaurs that turn into robots, making them combine, you know, just even more cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, fair enough. I am not a proponent of Dinobots combining, but to each his own. I think the Dinobots and the Predacons never really had much of a rivalry, except if you count the UK comics. Like, the UK comics had a whole Dinobots versus Predacons backstory, like on Cybertron. They were rivals. And Dive Bomb, the Predacon vulture, actually stole Swoop's name back in the day. He beat Swoop one-on-one on combat, where Swoop, the Dinobot Swoop, was originally named Dive Bomb. And I guess on Cybertron, if you beat up another robot, you can take their name. That was the backstory of in the UK Transformers comics. So the Predacon Dive Bomb beat Swoop in a one-on-one battle, and so he took the name Dive Bomb away from Swoop. And that's how Swoop became Swoop and Dive Bomb became Dive Bomb. And that rivalry continued on Earth when the Predacons and Dinobots were on Earth. So, but I don't think most people care about that. So that's my two cents. All right. Next bit of feedback is from DJ Ronan in our Discord chat. And Donatron DJ Ronan says, this is... also from episode 401, our discussion about make toys. So this is actually for you, Mike, because Mike, you submitted feedback in a previous episode asking about make toys. Where's make toys? So DJ Ronan has an answer for you. So he says, as for make toys, they still function. A couple months ago, they did release a pre-order for their Downbeat. That's their third party jazz with an updated paint job and a mystery sticker. They also have been having sales on their website over the year. That is how I got their Galaxy Meteor, which is a Cybertron Starscream, and Hellfire, which is a Masterpiece Inferno. Their last physical release was almost a year ago with Endgame, which is a Masterpiece-style dirge. Their spark might be dim, but every site is still honoring the pre-orders. I'm a Make Toys fanboy, so I really do not want to see them fall. So there's your answer, Mike. I hope you're satisfied.
See, I really hope you're right, because I'm a big Make Toys fanboy as well. Like, I have, like most of the third-party stuff that I have is actually Make Toys, so like a good half my third-party shelf is that. And I don't want to see them go away or anything, but every time I see, like, a forum post or something, or just people talking about it, like, half the time they're saying, oh, yeah, Make Toys is dead, you'll never see them again. It's like, and they haven't... really, I haven't heard much of anything like lately, so when I hear that kind of stuff, I tend to believe it. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Because I want this. I love their aesthetic, and I love the stuff they put out. I just like you said. Like it's been over a year since they've released something, and the last thing they released was called Endgame. Come on, come on, come on. So I really hope they do.
Thanos snapped them away.
But yeah, it's one of those things, especially with third-party companies, that I don't have the trust that they will continue on, unlike something like a bigger company like Hasbro. If they don't keep on releasing stuff, then I kind of assume the worst, and it's like, all right, well, they're done. Because if they are done, I don't think we'd really hear much of anything. It'd just quietly go away, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So I really hope you're right. I really hope you're right, DJ, because I do want them to continue. I love their aesthetic, and I would really love to get some of like their other stuff. So here's hoping.
All right, and that is all our feedback. And that will take us to the end of the show. And of course, at the end of every show, we give our Masterpiece Donatrion shoutouts, and that is for our currently only Masterpiece Donatrion, John 4X Levengood. Thank you for continuing to support the show, and this is your long-distance dedication.
Woo!
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Transmissions. Mike, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Well, Empire of Rust, of course. So transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Please be sure to check that out. We put an awful lot of work, me and Adam and Matt and Mike and Pat. So we put in a ton of work and ton of effort, and it's a really good time for everyone. So please continue to check that out. And if you would like to see any of the toy photography that I do, you can find it on pretty much any social media site that I post to. So, but Twitter and Instagram are probably going to be the big ones. And if you go there, it's at Minervion, MinerVion.
All right. So we will see you next time, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.